Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
If you have a scripture memory plan, maybe this is a verse that you memorized some time ago or one that you want to commit to memory, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What about another verse, Ephesians 5:16, talks about making the most of your time because the days are evil. Today, we're going to talk about a practical guide to productivity. And Ted, I know that I can definitely use some help in this area.
Yeah, me too. You know, I've thought about making a list
okay.
for the new year.
Sure, good. All right. So, yeah, it's not the tomorrow we're talking procrastination. Today is productivity.
Okay.
So make sure get that clear. John Wesley, who was kind of a master at organizing his life, he was very methodical, I guess you could say, a Methodist. Anyway, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can, which sounds like a pretty lofty goal. We're going to talk about do more better today, talking productivity. Do more better is the title of a great little book from Tim Challice. But it's not just about how to do more and do it better, but we're also going to talk about the why we want to be productive. And some practical, helpful, biblical insight just ahead.
I was going to say, that's an important distinction to make because sometimes we can get wrapped up too much in trying to do too much. So that'll be good to talk about.
And I do want to just share this quote from C.J. Mahaney. He said, only God gets his to-do list done every day.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
You kind of give yourself a
little reminder.
Give a little break on that. Let's welcome in our guest today. So glad to have Tim Challice back with us. He is husband and father and a book reviewer for World Magazine, co-founder of Cruciform Press, has written several books. And the one we're referencing is a wonderful little resource, just I don't know, it's 100 pages or so, called Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity. In fact, that's one of the emphases of Cruciform Press, is that they do a short little readable, attainable books. He's also written The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment, Sexual Detox, A Guide for Guys Who Are Sick of Porn, and The Next Story, Life and Faith After the Digital Explosion. He worships and serves as a pastor at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario, and writes daily at challies.com. And he began that website back in 2002. He's been writing there ever since. So, Tim, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I guess I should say thanks for carving out some time, because this is a matter of you're a person who actually has a plan and can stick to it sometimes, right?
I try to, yeah, that's for sure.
So let's talk about being productive. And was this something maybe from your own passion to be more effective, because you're as a husband, a father, a writer, your pastor. So was it just a matter, I need to do the best job I can balancing life and work?
Yeah, that was a lot of it. I'm naturally very disorganized and also naturally kind of lazy. And so over the course of life, I realized that these were not character traits that were going to get me anywhere, that wouldn't be serving my family, serving my church, wouldn't be leading to good things. And so I really worked hard to address those things biblically and then to address them practically. So first to deal with issues of the heart and then to deal with the very practical issues. And I think in past attempts, I had done that backwards and it hadn't done me much good. So just trying to fix the practical without really fixing the foundation first. And, of course, the foundation is always a spiritual one.
Well, I was just thinking, you talked about naturally disorganized and lazy. I mean, probably all of us or many of us are in that category. We just don't want to admit it.
Right, yeah, and certainly orderliness. There are a few people who are very naturally organized, but most of us, I think, are not. And as we progress through life, as our responsibilities change, our lives change, we need to keep changing too. And we might have a great system that does us well when we're in college, then we go on to career, and we find ourselves completely overwhelmed. So it's kind of a moving target.
Yeah, and I mean, there are plenty of conversations, books, seminars on productivity, but maybe we should start with, you know, why we aren't. Is it a matter of being disorganized and lazy, or is there more to it than that?
Sure. It can be a matter of being disorganized and lazy. We are sinful people, and we suffer the consequences of sin in all kinds of areas in life. But again, I really want to push people to think about it spiritually, and I think we're lazy and disorganized because we don't see the big point in life, which is to glorify God by doing good for others. If we're really targeting that in life, that I have the privilege as a human being, as someone made in God's image, as someone redeemed by His Son, I have this great privilege of bringing glory to Him. Well, of course I want to do that. Specifically, how do I glorify God? By doing good to other people. And so now I've got this noble goal in my life that I want to aim for. And I need to bring some organization to my life to do that. I need to do some planning to make sure I'm doing more of that rather than less of that. So addressing the foundation really is so important.
Is that, in fact, your definition, your working definition of productivity?
Well, it's not too far. Productivity is glorifying God, sure, but it's doing that by using my gifts, time, talent, energy, enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God. So in that definition, I'm trying to gather just all that I am, all that I have that I can bring to the Lord, that I can, you know, lay at His feet, if you will. So my gifts, my spiritual gifting, my talents, just those natural talents that I've got, my time, my energy, my enthusiasm. You know, God makes some of us enthusiastic about one thing and some of us enthusiastic about other things. If I can corral all of that and then direct it to this great goal of doing good to others and in that way glorifying God, well, now I'm living a life that's very, very purposeful and very targeted.
When it comes to productivity, again, we said there's many books, seminars, tools. Is our first inclination just to go grab the latest thing off the shelf or download something or find an app? And is that maybe the right approach or wrong approach?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do, and we really do want the quick fix, and there's lots of people out there, really in any area of life, who will promise you a quick fix. Just read this, and it will forever transform your life. We're absolutely prone to that, and so many of those self-help seminars, that's what they do. But what we really need to do, again, is go back to the foundation. Why do I want to be productive? Because I can be productive for so many wrong reasons. I can do it just for personal enrichment. I can do it just to feel good about myself, just to be better than other people. There's all sorts of poor reasons. But if we can really dig deep and expose the foundation, rebuild the foundation, then I'm in a whole different position. Then I see there are no quick fixes, and that I really need to be thinking about it biblically. There's a distinctly Christian way that I ought to be thinking. And there's very few books that write about productivity from a distinctly Christian perspective. There's very few seminars that address it from a distinctly Christian perspective. Our productivity should not look like the world's productivity. It should be markedly different.
And I assume if we actually have the right reasons, the right motive, the right theological framework, that that's going to give us the ongoing strength and maybe impetus to keep up with it, because there are always going to be setbacks when it comes to trying to, you know, get on a new plan.
Right. So there's a lot of benefit in developing a system of productivity, and ultimately any system will at times fail, at times will grow weary of it. But if we're really motivated by this great goal, well, then it's so easy to go back to it. It's so easy to keep improving it. It's so hard to live without it. We just see the benefit. We see how by living in this way, we really can do good for others. We really can bring glory to God. And I don't want to say it's addictive, but it is, in the sense of this is what we were made to do. We're now living the way God intended us to live, living toward this great goal. So you certainly don't need the system that I outline to do that, but it's one that has been effective in my life and has been effective in other people's lives. So it's at least one option. And one of the things I want to do in the book is just lay out, why don't you think about this? Here are some ideas to try. Here's a whole system you could try. Read it, consider it, adopt as much of it or as little of it as you want in your life, but at the very least, live for the good of others and the glory of God.
We're going to dive in more to the system here in the moments ahead, but I'm interested, Tim, how important is it to build a productivity plan in sequence? You know, if our foundation is weak, does that mean that the rest is maybe not going to work as effectively as it could or crumble perhaps?
Yeah, very much so. So first understanding what is the purpose of our productivity, and then there's a system I outline that I think is very helpful, and it borrows heavily from a system called Getting Things Done, at least at its foundational level. But just starting to take an overview of your life. So if you can imagine sort of flying over your life and looking down upon it and trying to figure out, what is my life composed of? What is it made up of? What are the different responsibilities that I have, the different responsibilities God has given me? If I can see all of those responsibilities, I can start to group them together. I can start to separate them first and see, okay, God has made me responsible to be a husband and a father. That is one big responsibility. I need to do that well. If someday I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, well, certainly I can't be failing as a husband, as a father. He's made me a pastor, so I have responsibilities toward my church. He's given me a job, so I have responsibilities there. So just trying to get that big overview in life and then aligning my life according to that.
There is a difference between roles and responsibilities, though, isn't there?
Right, yeah. There is. It's maybe a subtle difference, but I like to sort of, I guess, kind of group them together. So you have maybe in your life 5 or 10 areas of responsibility, maybe even 5 or 6 areas of responsibility, and everything you do in life has to be captured into one of those areas. So for a lot of people, that would be business and personal and church and relationships, things like that. But then under each one to define certain roles. So under relationships, well, I'm responsible to my wife as her husband. I'm responsible to my children as their father. I'm responsible to my parents as their child. And then to come up with some of these different roles. And then hopefully over the course of life to keep looking at those roles and to say, how am I succeeding? What do I need to do in this area to succeed as a husband, to succeed as a father? I find there's such value in breaking life down into responsibilities and then into roles.
So is fewer areas better than many? I mean, maybe our tendency to be to break it out too finely, or should it be more broadly defined?
Yeah, so if you're thinking about areas of responsibility, I like people to come up with maybe 5, 6, or 7, no more than that, because it does get just too clunky, and hopefully you can summarize all that you are, all that you do in just a few. But roles, we can have many, many different roles, and that will vary a lot by who we are and what we do, how big our family is, all those different things.
All right. In the moments ahead, we'll dive into a few essential tools that Tim will recommend. And again, as we said, we'll just share some of what has worked for him, and you take what you can out of it, and hopefully it will help us all be more productive so that we can do more better. That's the title of Tim's book, Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity. Just a short little book. We've got a couple of copies to give away, and maybe that would be the first step for you in being more productive, just to call up and sign up for the drawing for that here. We'll do that at the end of the hour. Call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, and sign up for a copy of Do More Better as we talk more with Tim Challis. Challis is a writer, a pastor, and he's author of the book Do More Better, father of three. He writes regularly at Challis.com, and the recommended writer, whatever he's writing, you want to be reading. And we'll get to more of your questions and thoughts about productivity coming up in just a moment. Try to do it all. Do more better. And that's our conversation today. Do More Better is the book, A Practical Guide to Productivity, written by Tim Challis. Tim's a husband, a father of three. He writes book reviews. He's co-founder of Cruciform Press. He's written several books. He's a pastor and worships at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, and writes regularly on his daily blog at Challis.com. And been doing that for a number of years, which I'm sure takes up a bit of his schedule. And I know one of the things, I guess, when we start thinking about productivity is, I guess, my mind, it's maybe as well, we just need to we need to fill up our days more. But one of the things you address early on, Tim, is about planned neglect. And somehow that doesn't seem like that's a productivity strategy.
Yeah. Well, we have to be realistic and understand that there's only so many things we can do. We only have so much time. We only have so much ability and so on. And so we need to decide in life, and that's really through that sort of auditing process I laid out before. We need to be careful to audit our lives and to understand these are the things I believe God has really called me to do and really called me to focus on. That means there's lots of things I won't be able to do. We need to learn to say no to a lot of opportunities. And really, I don't think we're managing our time well until we learn to say no to a lot of good opportunities. We might just need to say at times, that's a great opportunity. It's just not one for me. I've got other priorities. I've got other things that I need to give my time and attention to. That doesn't mean we're too busy. It just means that we're managing our time well. So we do have to plan to neglect certain things in order to focus on the few that matter most.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference between what we can do and what we could do. And that's, I guess, going to be a lifelong issue, isn't it?
Right, yeah, and on this side of the grave, we do have such limited time and such limited ability and so many thorns and thistles, to borrow the biblical analogy, all these thorns and thistles growing up and choking out our best efforts and just making them all more difficult. One of the things I lay out in the book is the value of saying a slow yes and a quick no, which can sound a little bullish, but all I mean is we tend to say a very quick yes, just yes, I'll do this and yes, I'll do that. You want me to do it? I'll do it. But I think there's a lot of value in saying no to things and just taking on few things that we can do very well, giving them the proper time and the proper attention. It's okay to live a simple life. It's okay to live a life that isn't just crammed full every day. You can see that in Jesus. You know, the busier he got, the more he would just run off by himself and go up on a mountain to pray to his Father. He needed those times. There was so much Jesus could have done that he didn't do. And that's because he was living his life the absolute best way he could.
By the way, if you have questions, we talk productivity about do more better. You can join us at 877-933-2484. Our phone lines are open. And we do have a couple copies of Tim Challey's book we're going to give away as well. So sign up for that. It'll be a great little tool to help you here in this new year. Speaking of tools, you talk about three essential tools. Tim, let's just review kind of what has worked for you.
Yeah, so I lay out three different categories of tool. And, everybody in their life is dependent upon tools. The carpenter is no better than his saw. He's no better than his tools he uses, right? And the writer is no better than his pen and so on. So we all use tools in all of life. What I try to do is lay out that in productivity specifically, there's three kinds of tools that we can use that help us manage and corral ourselves, our lives. The first being a task management tool. This is a relatively new kind of tool that has just come along in the last few years, but it's ideally suited to help us manage our tasks, our to-dos, all the different verbs we need to accomplish in life. Then there's a scheduling tool, which you would know as a calendar, which is just so good at allowing us to organize our time and notify us of appointments and meetings. And then there's an information tool, which is just a tool that enables us to collect and archive and access the information we need in life. So if we can get these three tools, identify the tools we want to use, and we can use them well, and we can use them in coordination with one another, I think we'll find that we can be more productive than we ever thought we could be.
You make sure to distinguish between the task management and scheduling calendar. I think sometimes we tend to lump it all in the calendar, but you separate out tasks, don't you?
Yeah, I think most people are very accustomed to a calendar, to using a calendar. Most people try to do more on their calendar than they really should. Calendars are ideal for very few things and really, really poor for a lot of things. Actually, email is the same. People use email to do things it was never designed to do, and there's better tools to do that, too. So with a calendar, it's a great place to set things into time. Say, I've got this appointment that falls today during this time. It blocks off my time and allows me to see what other time I have free. There's really not a whole lot else that a calendar does very well. There's other tools that do those other things better. So urgent tasks that need to be done or information that needs to be recorded, a calendar is not a great means, not a great tool for doing that.
Notice you also talked about when you are putting your task list together, that you write your tasks, verb first and then semicolon. Explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's just one of my little strange little things I do in my system. But as I break down the tasks I need to accomplish in any given day, I always try to put a verb first. That just helps me organize them. It helps me see what the action is that will accomplish that. So it might be write, it might be call, it might be talk, it might be any number of things, go. It could be all these different things. But I just like to put the verb first. That allows me to see at a glance, right, I need to go, I need to write. These are all the writing things I have to do today, and so on, to break it down that way. A lot of my tasks start with pay, and they probably do for you too. And lots of bills that need to be done.
Yeah. By the way, if you know, as we talk more a bit about some of the ways that you have been able to be more productive and do more better, if we only pick up part of this, I mean, obviously not everybody's going to apply it the same way. Is there one thing that's going to bring us the most return on investment, if you will, if we could change one thing here early on in the year 2017?
Sure, yeah. I think if people can do that little audit, I mean, if they can first get the idea that we need to live to do good to others to the glory of God and just direct your life at that, there's then a million different ways you can do that, right? You don't need to follow this system to do that. Many people in history have done that without ever mastering a calendar or using a task management tool. So that idea, and then maybe auditing your life, just looking, again, if you can picture flying over a city in an airplane and looking down at the city, you get a very interesting view of the city. You see things that you've never seen before. Well, if you can fly over your life and just look down on your life and say, what is it made up of? I think that practice can be very, very helpful to identify the different areas where God has made you especially responsible, and then just to ask, what am I going to do about that? How am I going to excel there instead of just getting by?
And obviously this, I mean, the framework will probably stay the same, but it's going to change over seasons of your life, right? When your children are little, or maybe you don't have children, or you're an empty nester, that those will affect maybe the different responsibilities.
Right, absolutely. So your responsibilities to church would differ a lot when you're a pastor and when you're not, or your family responsibilities vary a lot when you have young children or when your children are grown. They would vary a lot when your parents are, when you're living in your parents' home or when your parents have become dependent upon you. So life changes, the circumstances of life change, and then, of course, it looks different in life to do good to others. There's doing good to my children now. 20 years from now, it will look very, very different to love and to serve my children. And so, yeah, we need to keep moving, keep adapting, and keep changing with the times.
All right, we're going to jump in more detail here in just a few minutes. Tim has a key organizing principle. We'll talk about that. A second principle as well we'll get to. We'll address email a little bit as well, because that's always one of our challenges. See if this has some application for serving the church as well. We want to do more better. That's the title of Tim Challis's little book. It's a practical guide to productivity. Got a couple of copies to give away. It might be just the thing you need for this new year to help you do more better. You can sign up for it with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. We'll do a drawing for a couple of copies here at the top of the hour. Tim Challis is my guest today, who writes regularly his blog and is a pastor joining us. Now, this life is not a dress rehearsal, and so we want to make the most of our times. We talked about even at the beginning of the program, Paul's words in Ephesians, making the most of a time because the days are evil. And there, as Tim Challis has said, there are thorns and thistles that weigh us down, bog us down, get us off track. But we can live a calm and orderly life and be sure of our responsibilities and confident in our progress. We can do more better. We're talking about it today with Tim Challis, who's an author, pastor. He writes regularly on his blog, and he's also co-founder of Cruciform Press. He's a husband and father, and working at being effective in all that he does and efficient. Do More Better is the title of the book, A Practical Guide to Productivity. We've got some copies to give away, and you can sign up at 877-93-FAITH. to get in the drawing for that. So, Tim, I know we kind of talked about the essential tools, a task management tool, a scheduling tool, information tool. You have a key organizing rule. Maybe we should just start there. What's your key?
Yeah, so simple rule, a home for everything and like goes with like. Home for everything, like goes with like. That means that everything in your life, everything in your house ought to have a place where it lives when it's not in use. And things that are similar to one another probably should live in the same home. They should be in the same place. So you just think about your kitchen. My guess is in your kitchen all the plates are in the same place, and all the knives are with all the other knives, and the knives are near the forks because they're similar things. And so we apply this principle quite naturally in a lot of areas in life. We know that when I'm not using a plate, it should be in the cupboard, and it should probably be near the bowls because they're similar. But when it comes to our lives, we tend to introduce a lot of chaos. And when it comes to information, when it comes to tracking the things we need to accomplish, suddenly this weird chaos can take over. And so I try to apply that principle to our productivity, just to the things we need to do and accomplish in life, that in the same way we should use our tools in such a way that everything has a home, we know what home everything belongs to, and that similar things go together.
Well, so give us a little example, flesh that out for us, for those that are lost in the chaos at the moment.
Sure. Well, if you have a something that needs to be accomplished, I need to pay my phone bill, that should not go on my calendar because my calendar is not the appropriate home for that thing, that for that bit of information. It should not go on my information management tool because that is not the home for task. It should go on my task management tool. It is a task. That's where it belongs. And then if I have to pay three bills today, I have to pay the phone bill and the electrical bill and something else, then those three should all go together within that tool because they're similar things. They're all bills I need to pay as part of my family life, my home life. So just trying to group things together. You think about filing cabinets in your house, and probably, if you're thinking about tax information or something, probably you have a file with all of your tax for the last few years, and then further within the file, you have all the 2015 and then all the 2016, and you're starting to build all the 2017. We apply this principle naturally in some areas and then fail to apply it in others. So I just try and get people to apply it all over life. It's very, very helpful once you can embrace it.
A home for everything, and like goes with like. You have a second principle. Say more about that.
What's that principle?
Do something with everything.
Yeah, right. So every day you're going to be encountering information. You're going to be sorting through the different things that have come across your desk. What we tend to do is accumulate things in piles. Those might be actual piles of paper on our desk. Those might be emails stacked up in our inbox. But a good system should find a way of doing something with everything so that we're taking action on things instead of allowing them to accumulate. Allowing emails or mail or other things to accumulate really can bring our productivity to a screeching halt. And so we should develop systems and flows that allow us to actually take action on everything rather than letting them pile up indefinitely.
Ed, if I, you know, sit down and write a list of all the tasks and things that I have to do, it seems like it becomes sort of overwhelming because that tree just kind of grows, branches off. I got to do this, and this. And am I just sort of filling up my task lists, and then do I need to prioritize them? How do I keep that in an orderly fashion?
What I like people to do is, you know, once or twice, every now and again, sit down and build a long list of tasks, all the different things you need to accomplish, sort of throughout life. But then day by day, you're crossing things off as you do them, and you're adding things as they need to be done. And then you're adding them into the system. And the system is what should manage your tasks for you. So you add a task, I need to pay this bill. Well, it doesn't need to be paid until next Thursday, so I'm going to mark it as being paid, so my system will draw it to my attention next Thursday. I don't want to have a million tasks in front of me that need to be accomplished over the next 2 weeks. I want to have today's tasks presented to me. Do these things today. This is what your day is going to look like. So a well-functioning system really allows us to have peace of mind, knowing that it's taking care of things. It knows what I need to accomplish. I don't have to remember those things. There's such freedom in getting things out of our brains and into a system. If we can build a system that is strong and that is robust and that really can handle what we throw at it, well, then we can lay our heads down at night and sleep without waking up in the middle of the night, oh, no, I forgot about that, or I need to remember that. All those sorts of things that happen. Our system, we should be able to build a strong enough system that it does a lot of the work for us. We have limited minds, limited brains, limited memory. We shouldn't be filling those with information that a system can handle better than we can.
You do recommend a couple of systems. I think what Evernote is one of them, and maybe a couple others. Just say about what you use and why you like that particular product or piece of equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's software called Evernote, and its little icon is an elephant, which tells you something. It's made to remember. Elephants have great memories. Well, so does Evernote, and that software was created to hold information. And so you can take pictures and store it in there. You can tap notes in. You can add documents to it. You can add web pages to it. You can throw all kinds of information at it. It is very, very good at just holding that information and then retrieving it. So, you know, my brain is okay at that, but it's just not made to handle that capacity of information. So how much better to put it into a tool like that one that's custom made to do that very thing? There's software called Todoist, which is created to allow me to put tasks into it and then to tell me which tasks I need to accomplish today. It's brilliant at doing that one thing. It's not much good for anything else, but that's fine. Its purpose is to help me know what I need to do today and to help me get it done. So it's absolutely great for that. And then there's different calendar programs as well that could be very, very helpful to hold my appointments. I knew about this interview because my calendar reminded me 5 minutes in advance and allowed me to get ready.
Yeah, how do we deal with the random, maybe once in a blue moon task or an event that comes over, something, you know, out of the ordinary that can sort of take over our schedule? Is that okay? Do we just relax about that if we've got the rest of our life kind of in order?
Yeah, I think so. If we are really on top of our productivity, we have a good system that's functioning well, then hopefully we know in advance about most of those big things that are coming. If you're working in retail, you know that the month before Christmas is going to be very, very busy. Well, hopefully your system is robust enough that you can plan for that. You can get some tasks done in advance. You can defer others till after the busy period, and then your system will alert you to what needs to be done today, what needs to be done urgently. Where we tend to go wrong is when things come up by surprise, where something goes wrong in life, where there's an emergency in life, where the boss suddenly shows up and gives us a big project. Those are the times where we often have to make decisions. And I think especially there we can reveal some of our spiritual weakness, that we may not challenge the boss respectfully to say, well, you need to know that if I take this on, it means I will not be able to do this other thing. Or, you know, even ministry in church. How often do we get asked to do ministries in church that we're not ideally suited for, but we fear saying no, and so we take on things that we probably aren't that well equipped to do? That goes back to saying a quick no and a slow yes, or at least can we evaluate that together to see if this is really my gifting, really an area I should be giving attention to?
Say more about, you're a pastor, been leading a church for some time. Are there ways in which, as a church body, we can operate more effectively and productively and maybe not be duplicating efforts? Is it a matter of just finding our giftedness and doing that kind of audit?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of churches have a lot of ministries that probably shouldn't be happening anymore. And, you know, most churches add ministries for good reasons, and somebody has a real burden, a real passion for this ministry, and so you start the ministry in this nursing home, or you start a ministry to these people, or there's all different things that can happen, and those begin usually for good and noble reasons. But over time, the church changes, and the people changes, and the circumstance change. And I just think churches are better at adding than they are at taking away some of those ministries that perhaps are ineffective now, or perhaps nobody has a burden or passion for. And so now we're weighing people down with them instead of allowing people to serve with real joy there. So in the local church, I think the same thing can be done, is sort of auditing the church. Who are we as a church? What are we trying to accomplish as a church? And which of our ministries are really helping, and which of our ministries are not? That can be a very healthy practice in a church.
Talking Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity. Tim Challis is my guest today, and we do have some copies of the book to give away. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Say a bit about getting our tasks done. It's one thing to have them all listed and on the calendar, but do you use kind of the snowball effect? Does that work for work?
Yeah, I think it that varies so much depending on who you are and what exactly your tasks are and your responsibilities are. But I like to take the do the hardest thing first approach. You know, if there's one thing that just feels like it's going to be a heavy burden, I think it's usually best to get that one done first. On the other hand, I also want to be very aware of my mental highs and lows. So my work tends to be creative. It's writing work. Well, I know that my brain is at peak creativity between, say, 8:30 and 11:30 in the morning. That's when I'm at my absolute best. So I want to use that time to do my most creative work. That's the time I want to especially dedicate to the Lord and to His most important task that He's given me. Then in the afternoon, I can do, you know, when my brain is sagging a little bit, I'm tired, that's when I can do some of those other things, when I can do some of the paperwork or the administrative things that come with life. So a lot of it comes down to knowing yourself, knowing your responsibilities, and just knowing your own energy ebb and flow throughout the day.
I'm just glad we caught you here before your brain kind of peaks here in the next, 15 minutes or so. But say a word about just use of electronics. I mean, are we at risk if we've built this system up in our computer or our phone dies?
Yeah, that used to be a pretty big concern, but pretty well everything is stored externally now. It's rare to keep much on your own device. There certainly was a time when a lost hard drive could spell doom. But today, most things are stored quite securely out in the cloud, that fabled cloud we keep hearing about, where all our information goes. And I think it's quite secure there. So if you build a good system with good hardware, you shouldn't have to be too concerned about that.
Yeah. And before we let you go, say a word about email. Any recommendations? Should we be checking it the first thing in the morning or, before we get out of bed or any of those things?
Yeah, well, no. Email, we should use it as seldom and as sparingly as we can. I think we've really seen that email is a difficult tool, one that is well-suited to a couple of things and poorly suited for most of the uses we do with it. So I've got a whole section in my book about how to manage email well and how not to let it drive you to complete despair.
Well, maybe just the elevator speech, the 30-second summary. The book is a short and easy read and fast-paced. So is there, one tip you want to leave with us to do more better?
I would just say think seriously about your responsibility before the Lord to do good to others for the glory of God. And then just to answer the question in your own mind, what will I do? How will I do that to the best of my abilities? If you answer that question well, I think you're living a life that's glorifying God.
Tim, blessings to you and your family and your ministry. Grateful for your writing, and thank you for putting this little practical guide together.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Tim Challies is a writer, and he's a co-founder of Cruciform Press. He's written several books. He worships and serves as pastor at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario. He writes daily at challies.com, that's challies.com. Encourage you to check it out there. We do have some copies of Do More Better to give away, and we'll do that here in the top of the hour. So you can sign up for that with a phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We've got some more thoughts on organizing coming up in just a moment, but we're going to kind of delve into the closets and the storerooms and the piles that we all have on our list to get rid of. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Do it better for the glory of God. I'm talking about it today with Tim Challies. I want to talk about not just organizing our time and our life, but maybe organizing our stuff. And we went back to the archives to pull out some great insight from Jody Watson, who's founder and president of Supreme Organization. She's author of Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. And she'll give us some thoughts about why we have to purge with passion.
Passion is going to be the key to really helping you stay with the program, because it's not easy to do things differently. I mean, we don't always like change. Even though we may not like where we are, with things and with the things the way they are, if we're living with a lot of chaos and disorder, we may recognize that we are. But to actually get from there to living a life of order means we have to change. We have to do things differently. And that's never easy. And sometimes, I mean, you were talking about the seasons earlier. They're, you know, New Year. You're absolutely right. It's definitely a time where people are going, okay, it's a new year, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to set my resolutions. And back to school is another time when it's like, you know, it's a new academic year, if you like. And so it also brings that same sense of change and newness. And it gives us energy and motivation to start. And we need that. And so that gets us going, and we achieve what we achieve. And then what's really going to keep us in there for the long term is going to be how passionate we are about it and how much do we actually desire this change that we are striving for. So being passionate is the desire to do things differently and then having the motivation to keep doing it, even when it starts to be hard. And we don't want to do it, but the passion means that we'll bring our whole self to it nevertheless, and we'll put our whole heart into it, and we won't hold back, and we'll want to do it and do it well. And with purging and getting organized and bringing order to our lives, I think when we look at the biblical principles that we see in God's word for that, we understand that the purging is about God pruning from our life that which is maybe of no use and is getting in the way. And so that helps fuel our passion. I think it's more than just getting rid of a few things now and sort of bringing our homes, taming the clutter in our homes, but it's more about allowing God to work through us to clear away what is unnecessary and what he doesn't need to be there. And I think that's something to be really passionate about.
So taking that bigger picture framework can really make a difference, doesn't it? So it's not just I'm going to get this drawer by the kitchen cupboard here cleaned out, but it's really a bigger picture, because you talk about passion. I was thinking about, you know, there's emotional clutter. I mean, emotions are so often tied up in how we, you know, let stuff accumulate.
Oh, our emotions are definitely a huge part of the problem. But yeah, the key, I think, that unlocks the door from just saying, you know, hey, let's purge a few items, let me get my closet organized this weekend or whatever, is to really understand that God does have a plan for restoring order in this world. I mean, we know that he did create a world that was in perfect order when he originally created it for us, and that we, through our own passions and desires and things that we wanted, we actually messed the order of that world up. So it's important that we understand that he is working towards restoring order here on our planet, and that we can actually come alongside him, and as we align our lives more to what his idea of order is, as opposed to what maybe our idea of order is, then we can become a part of that plan. And that prevents us sort of adding more chaos and mess to an already chaotic and messy situation that God is trying to restore order to. And then we go from asking that question, you know, oh, how can I organize my closet, to asking a more profound question of, you know, how is God's original intention for order reflected in my life and in the way that I relate to the stuff that he has given me and the resources that he's entrusted to me. And that's a key to unlocking that passion, if you like, so that when we grasp this and we grasp that there's a bigger picture behind bringing order and we start to apply that, then we can really pursue the change that can mean we can live our life and manage our space and our stuff and time and money differently in order to actually be more effective for God and his kingdom.
Jody, you know, most organization books stop at stuff. You address finances and time as well. Maybe just say a word about that here before our time runs out.
Okay. The reason I go beyond stuff is that, you know, stuff and time and finances are three areas where we tend to put our desires and plans ahead of God's desires and plans for us. You know, we want what we want. We want to spend our time doing whatever we want, and we want to spend our money on whatever we desire. So these areas are three that if we aren't careful and mindful, we're going to fall short of being faithful servants and stewards of God's gifts to us. These are his gifts to us. You know, time is a wonderful resource. It's really what our lives are made up of. And how we use that is going to determine, you know, whether we impact his kingdom or whether we're building our own kingdoms, if you like. And they're also very interlinked, and they affect one another, so that you could be spending your time and money on things that God has no use for, or you could be getting into debt financially, you know, burdening yourself because you want to buy more stuff than you can afford. Or we may use our time to get more money to buy the stuff by working longer and harder hours. So they really work together. They're really interlinked. And, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, you know, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So, you know, before we know it, we find ourselves on this accumulation merry-go-round, and we're just, that all three are working together. We're spending money, we're wasting time, and we're buying too, and we have too much stuff. So as we bring these into submission to the Lord, he really helps us to get our priorities back into alignment with him. And we have to remember at the end of the day that, you know, we tend to think of it as my stuff and my time and my money, but it really isn't. You know, everything that we have belongs to the Lord, and he's entrusted it to us for a purpose. So when we are being mindful of that and we're saying, okay, God, what do you want me to use this for? You've given me this time. How can I use it to glorify you? Or I have this money. How can I use that to glorify you? Or I have even this stuff. How can I use it to glorify you? We're becoming good stewards at that point of the things that he's given us. The question to ask is, how can I become rich towards God with my stuff, my time, my finances, all of me, basically? Can I bring that to the feet of the Lord and let him have his will with it and direct my steps with how to use it effectively and efficiently for his glory? So that's why I bring them in. I don't think it's just one thing that stuff is just the issue. There's a lot of issues, you know, but these three are major. And, of course, it's all driven by, there's one chapter in my book called Purging Your Inner World, which sort of really looks at our heart issues and why we're even having too much stuff and why we're spending our time in certain ways and why we're buying more than we need to do. Like, what is that about? Why are we even doing that? And it really comes back to, you know, the chaos and disorder of the world that we've created, and everything's kind of off, and our priorities are no longer in line with him, and we're just sort of, it's a free-for-all, and we're doing whatever we can. So when we bring these, and we strive to bring these back into alignment with him, order is restored in our lives. And so that's really the journey that we're on, is to continue to help God restore order to this world in our own way, in our own part of the world, in our home, where we are with what he's given us, being faithful with that.
Jody Watson, founder and president of Supreme Organization, author of a great little book called Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. You notice that both Jody and Tim Challies were talking about chaos. Yeah. So apparently there's a link there, right? Thorns and thistles, Tim calls them. So if you missed, you can hear the full interview with Jody Watson. And if you missed part of our conversation with Tim Challies too, you can find it posted on our website. It's the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Myfaithradio.com. Go to Connecting Faith. And you can find the interviews from this and other great conversations we've had. You can pass them on to a friend.
You can also take us with you wherever you go here at Faith Radio. Download the free mobile app. Search for Faith Radio Network in the iTunes Store or at Google Play. Faith Radio Network.
That could be the number one organizing principle of your day today.
That's right.
You get the app so you can do more. Do
check
more
that
better.
Out.
Yes. So, and what to say, by the way, say welcome to those maybe listening in Hartford on the new FM signal there at 94.1, or if you're in Waterloo at 93.1, or Madison 104.7, or Twin Cities at 90.7. Say welcome to you. Glad to have you on board. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, Oz Hillman joins us as we talk faith and work.